You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Into the all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns tonight at 7 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio to look into the lives of the Browns players on and off the field. That's 7 p.m. tonight on Sports Time Ohio. It's our best of show, and this is our season-ending show, at least the last one of the 2014 season, 2014 year here in the Dog Bowl. And Bria, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and Dakion with you all the way till 3 p.m. All right, guys, we're going to hand out our first best of, then we're going to go ahead and we're going to take some phone calls. What was your favorite game of the season? Your favorite game of this Browns season?
I'll go first. I think my favorite game of the season was the home Steelers victory. It was just, to me, a huge step in the right direction. The record versus Roethlisberger was, you know, reigning supreme that entire week. What was it, 17-1 or something like that? And, Dante Whitner talked about it on wanting to change that trend. And not only to go out and do it in front of your home crowd, but do it in the way that they did and dominate the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ultimately, they didn't bring it home towards the end of the season, but I think the message has been sent throughout the division that, you know, this team is relevant and they're building a squad to compete for a division championship in the near future.
I'd have to go with the game at Cincinnati. It was one of the most dominating road performances I can remember from the Browns, really, in my whole life. It was also my first road game, so to me, that was my favorite game of the year.
All right, I'm going to go with Nashville because it was the biggest comeback on the road in the history of the NFL. It was a great road trip to begin with, and then I just remember sitting there at halftime, the Browns were getting annihilated. What is going on? And then all of a sudden, Charlie Whitehurst's magic wore off. He threw for, two touchdowns, I think, on his first three passes, and then the magic wore off. The Browns made the comeback. They won that one. Atlanta was also a real emotional comeback. That also featured, I think, my personal highlight, my best sideline run as I chased down the crow on his touchdown and got in trouble for going inside of the official after the touchdown. But those two were my favorites. Those two beatdowns were great games, but I think that the thrill of the victory at the end there was awesome. New Orleans at home, the first home victory of the year, was also a pretty darn good one as well for the Browns. 216-578-0850. Before we'll look at the flip side of it too. What do you think was the toughest loss of the season?
Toughest loss of the season, I think, and you know, having been at the stadium, to me was the Houston Texans lost. And the Jacksonville Jaguar loss. I think the Jacksonville Jaguar loss, as high as we were on this football team, created the first inkling of doubt about this football team because they were playing so well and so dominant. Brian Hoyer, you know, was having contract extension talk by all media sources, both locally and nationally. And we got smacked in the face by a team that hadn't won a football game through at that point, maybe seven football games. But then also, too, I think the Houston Texans loss was, in my eyes, again, a replication, but at home, of the Jacksonville Jaguars game, because their defense went out and played physical. We couldn't run the football. We couldn't pass the football. And just being in First Energy Stadium and have the air sucked out of it, when we get to see that place alive so many times this year, was, to me, the start of that downward trend.
I would say the Indianapolis Colts game. That game was there for the taking. Andrew Luck was playing more like Art Schlichter than Andrew Luck. And it was right there for the taking. We win that game. I'm thoroughly convinced we're sitting here and looking at a 9-7 season at worst. And that, talk about the air out of the stadium. I mean, we had so many chances to win that game and just gave it away.
Yeah, I was going to say the Indianapolis game as well. I think kind of the back-to-back Buffalo-Indianapolis games where you go to Buffalo, the defense plays brilliantly. You don't get a first down in the third quarter, can't win a very winnable game. And then against Indy, you hold Andrew Luck to 24 of 53 passing. You pick him off twice. You score 14 points as a defense in that one and still can't win the game. At one point, you were ahead 21-7 at the beginning of the third quarter, lose the game 25-24. I thought that was absolutely the one that broke the back, and I think that's the one that set up the loss to Cincinnati. I don't think they recovered from that game, and I really don't even think they recovered from that game really until the finale, where I thought they put forth a really good effort against the Baltimore Ravens. I think Indy was the back-breaking game of the season. All right, we're going to get your calls, 216-578-0850. Don in Ashland, welcome to CBD.
How's it going, fellas? I want to wish you a happy new year.
Happy new year to you.
All right, guys. Two comments. One, my best and worst part of the season, I'm going to lump it all into one game, would be that win against Cincinnati. I think that was the highest point of the season. And then directly that same week going into that next game, it was, in my opinion, was the downfall of the season, where Brian Hoyer, instead of looking outward as a team, started looking inward towards himself. And I thought that from that point on, Brian Hoyer got a lot of about him and not about the team. And I think that's where the offense kind of went downward for the rest of the season. My comment on Johnny Manziel and these guys, these rookies or whatnot that we got on this team, these knuckleheads, I'm sure that they're probably going to keep Gilbert. I'm okay with that, with trying to maybe resurrect what he's got as far as his skill set and what he can do for this team. My concern is with Johnny is the same with Josh Gordon. If you look at Josh Gordon's entire football career that we know of, he's always been in trouble. And it, as far as with Johnny, if you look back, you know, into his college days, you know, he's reckless on the football field, which was what made him great in college. But he was also reckless, you know, outside of football too. And just like with the money sign, that money sign came, as much as he says that it was something between him and his buddies, the first time that he flashed that money sign was that first touchdown that he made after the whole scandal with the signing of autographs and getting money for that. So I think with Johnny Manziel, I agree with you guys. I think it's time to just cut cords, see what we can get from him. And, you know, if that teaches him a lesson, like a Chris Carter, where he goes somewhere else and he does good, then, you know, so be it, and I'd be happy for him. But he's not right for this town.
That's a great point. And I think that the hardest thing right now is if he's even being shopped, what is his value? You know, and it may, like you said, kid, in the break, is you know, Dallas and Jerry Jones liking Johnny Manziel and bringing him back to Texas, and the hoopla that Jerry enjoys might fit their franchise. It doesn't fit here. You know, and you can see that. And I think at this point right now, if you want to deviate from football for a hot second, it's, you know, look at LeBron and the struggles, you know, right now of the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, and how something so potentially so great, and the hopes sold to this season and their fan base and the sports city that we are, when it doesn't go by plan, you know, we get torn apart again. You know, when the hopes are so high.
Yeah, not to switch gears, but I just hope that LeBron will go back and read his own letter. He was the one that said it's going to be hard, it's going to be frustrating, and now I'm not real happy about these leaks that he's sending out there that he might leave. You know what? Do what you said you were going to do. You're going to fight, you're going to scratch, you're going to claw. It's not going to be easy. It might take a couple years, but let's dig in and
get
it done.
Let's get it done and all for all these Cleveland sports teams. Alan Mansfield, welcome to CBD.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
I hope this doesn't make you question my sanity, but it's obvious that Justin Gilbert is struggling at the position we have him at, and I was wondering if there would ever be any consideration of moving him to the – I mean, based on his one exemplary play, moving him to the other side of the ball and trying to make him into a pass receiver.
I certainly don't think that's going to happen. I think that Justin Gilbert, they believe in his talent, and he's got to harness that and become a professional cornerback. But I think he'll be playing on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe if he was going to move somewhere, maybe they could try to make him go to safety, perhaps. But I think it's just not happening for a while. He's here to play cornerback for the Cleveland Browns. All right, when we come back, we will continue to take a look back at the season that was, give some more of our best ofs this year. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, and the kid. And we'll hear as well from Joe Hayden, the Browns Pro Bowl cornerback. That's coming up right after this on CBD.